There we go.
Survivor Specialist Phil and Alexa are back. And for our second week, we're not joined by a survivor, but we do bring back Vaughn Stewart, who is wiping the floor with Alexa and myself. Oh, no, I'm hearing myself. So now I messed it all up. But we are back with Vaughn Stewart, who is beating me and Alexa and Joe Mena very badly in the fantasy game. His team, he picked first. I think he knew that he would, if we snake the draft this year, that he would still get everybody he wanted, and that's why he was okay with snaking the draft. And he has four people left who, and he didn't have the first two boots, which is the reason he's beating Alexa. Vaughn, welcome back. Thanks for coming on. Thanks for joining us. It's always good to have you.
Thank you. I'm ready to take a victory lap before my victory is official.
Seriously, you have 146 points. Alexa's in second with 124, and I have 122. And then Joe has 96. And Joe and I both only have one
creeping
person,
up. Joe is creeping up there.
I think Alexa has a few finalists, though. So I'm worried that she's going to make kind of a last-second comeback here. I think a Wendell win would probably put her over the top. So we'll see.
I have a good bookend fantasy team. I had a rough last week of February, and I might have a really good last week of May. So
there you go.
Thanks, Gonzalez and Jacob.
Yeah, exactly.
Trust the process.
So Vaughn, you bring up
all about the process.
You bring this up now, and you say that, you know, Wendell Wynn puts it over the edge. Is that who you're feeling right now? Are you feeling a Wendell Wynn common?
No, not at all. Actually, yeah, this is why I feel so secure in my victory. I'm willing to go on the record now. I will bet you guys whatever you want. Dom is the winner of Survivor Ghost Island 100 times out of 100.
Wow.
There is there's no way anyone else wins this season. I'm on the record. This is not probably that controversial of a take.
That's a very lukewarm take.
Yeah, it is. It is. I'm not the only one saying this. But
that part is hot. That is spicy.
There's absolutely no possibility that anyone else wins. I will entertain no other winner.
I think you're on something there. 100 times out of 100, I don't know how much I'm buying that. But so we have, let's say we have a Dominic, Wendell, Laurel, final three. How does it shake out? Because you have correctly guessed the amount of votes in a final tribal council before.
Yeah, I have that.
I'm trying to understand this 100 times out of 100 thing.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, so I actually think that's a pretty likely final three, based on how everything's going. I think Donovan could maybe also slip in there as another finalist. I think Laurel, and we can get into why I think this, you know, as we kind of go down the rankings or whatever, but I think Donovan and Laurel are both looking at being zero vote finalists either way. So then you're just talking about how many votes does Wendell get versus how many votes Dom gets. I think that based on how it's edited, they certainly want us to like Wendell. I don't think that he has nearly as strong of an edit as Dominic for lots of reasons. I think most namely because he was as invisible as Chelsea was this past episode. This was a very crucial episode where I think tide shifted a little bit in the course of the game, and Wendell was nowhere to be seen until he talked a little bit at Tribal, which I think is really, I think, a death knell for his edit. That said, he has gotten a lot of really positive content, so I don't think that it's going to be a blowout for Dom. And there are how many members of the jury? That I guess there are
10. There's too much, 10.
Yeah, there are going to be 10, yeah. So I'll go ahead and say, you know, I'm not as confident about this. I need to kind of sort of ruminate over how I kind of how the Ponderosa gods are speaking to me around the time of the finale. But right now, I'll say maybe it's a 7-3 Dom victory. I think Laurel would potentially be a Wendell vote. So if she's in the final three, that probably costs Wendell an extra vote. So, yeah, I'll say 7-3 for now. I'll get into more specifics when the time comes. I don't want to, you know, just spoil the entire season for everyone.
That would be classic. Yeah. Dominic did have a fantastic episode, both strategy-wise and in terms of, like, GIF ability. There were, like, three great Dom GIFs that came out of this episode, which to me is a winner.
Anytime you sip anything from any receptacle on Survivor, you've reached, like, the platinum level of GIFs. Like, it could be any or like any receptacle whatsoever, any chalice, in any liquid,
wow,
in
a lot
any
of great
style
words.
Of drinking, and you're going to be on the gift list.
Wow. I mean, we got to thank Michaela. She was the true game changer with that. See what I did there?
Ooh. There you go. Game changer and Michaela. There we go.
Game changer.
I think the only problem here is, Vaughn, I don't think Laurel gets to the end and gets zero votes. So I don't think she's actually going to get to the end. I think she's just going to miss the end. I think Donovan could get to the end and get zero votes. Because I think Donovan's idol actually is going to be useless. I don't think he's ever really going to need it, or he's going to end up playing it the wrong way, or just nothing really big is going to end up coming of this idol. And so when he gets there, he won't even have that big move under his belt. Most of the people who were with him on day six or whatever it was when Morgan got voted out, day nine, they're not going to like remember that move because it was so long ago. Donathan's your fan favorite, like Ty. Not so much like Ryan. Ryan got one vote. He really wasn't a fan favorite, but you know, people liked Hannah Ryan.
Shapiro. Definitely shades of Hannah Shapiro, I think, in Donovan's.
That's a good comparison.
Especially because, you know, Chris's exit interview I thought was very damning for Donovan because Chris was so hurt by Donovan's betrayal. And we've seen that so many times with other finalists that fail to garner very much support from the jury, where it's people who people trusted, they felt like they connected with them outside the game. They almost felt like they were kind of superior to them and were almost giving them guidance and helping them out. And I think you had a little bit of that with Hannah too. People looked upon her, and I love Hannah. This is not a slight to Hannah, but they looked upon her as like, oh, you know, she's got anxiety. We're helping her through the game. She's so self-deprecating. And then people had a hard time respecting her game when she got to the end, even though I think she played a hell of a game. And I think it's going to be the same thing with Donovan, where they don't really respect him. They think that he's just kind of this bumbling guy from Kentucky. But even with a relatively sparse edit, we've been able to see that he's playing a good game. I think socially he's doing well. Strategically, he has like better strategic chops than I would have known or that I would have predicted. But I think he's got shades of Hannah. Certainly the Ty thing with his idol is really giving me Ty vibes because so many people now know about it because they helped him find it. So he's in a really tricky situation now because he's really going to feel the pressure almost via Scott Jason to play the idol for Michael or for Jenna or for all these people who had helped him find it. And if he doesn't, they could feel really bitter on the jury where it's like, hey, this is a guy who was such an underdog and a lovable personality. I thought we were buddies. I thought I was helping him out. I thought I was helping him adjust socially to this new environment. And then he backstabbed me in this really vicious way. There's no way I'm voting for him.
Yeah.
And who was exactly in that group that
all
helped
the
him?
Malolos.
All the Malolos. And
which
then
is
anybody
why
else?
I think Vaughn's on like the right track with this is because it was all the Malolos who are going to feel like he owes, like you owe me something now.
Yep.
You were on my tribe originally. You helped me find this idol. Because remember, the only other one who I think might have seen it was Dominic, but Dominic turned away or Wendell turned away. One of them turned away.
Yeah, they didn't see it.
So they ended up not seeing it.
And yet he clearly, you know, he certainly seems to be wavering more than Laurel. Laurel seems to be kind of all in on Dom and Wendell, and we can talk about that more later too. But Donovan certainly seems to be wavering, but he's doing a good job of playing both sides. But now that people know about the idol, him playing both sides really could come back to haunt him. No pun intended with the whole, you know, theme of the season.
Great tie-in.
Yeah, thank you.
Here we go.
I really thought that one through. But yeah, I mean, if he's, you know, for example, in this upcoming vote, and we can talk about it, we don't know how it's going to work out as far as I know, unless, you know, CBS has released something in the last 24 hours. We don't know how the whole two boots from one tribal is going to work out. Are they going to do two separate votes? Or is it going to be the top two vote getters that go home? And if it's the latter...
Here's real quick, because I did watch the sneak preview, and I know, I think, Alexa, you watched it too. There's a sneak preview that came out today where Jeff says it's two people getting voted out at two separate tribal councils, whatever that means.
Okay, well, that answers that question then. I was thinking that maybe they were trying to do this as like a sneaky way to get out of Navidi, because if it's like the top two vote getters that go home, then a Malolo is just banned together, then Navidi is basically guaranteed to go home, and that could be like an easy Chelsea vote or whatever in the double boot. But if it's two separate tribals, but they have two immunity idols or two immunity necklaces too, right?
Yeah.
So are two people immune for two back-to-back tribals?
I didn't think about it that. I thought about it as if they're broken up into two separate tribals of five because they have two of the exact same challenge going on at the same time. But that's a really good point. I didn't think about it that way.
Yeah, I guess we don't know. In which case, you know, kudos to the women, because women have won, what, the last 10 challenges going back to last season, 10 immunity challenges. So
that's a whole,
So I guess, clearly Survivor is going to have to start changing the rules to make it easier on the men. Men just have such a tough time in life.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, I think what's interesting, and I think this is actually – Survivor at the beginning was – you saw the Colby run. You saw Terry win a bunch of immunities. And I know you go back to Game Changers. Brad Culpepper won a lot of immunities. But
Mike Holloway.
Mike Holloway. I think Brad Culpepper is more of an outlier because I think that was just like he was next to people that really just weren't good at challenges. So that really actually helped Brad Culpepper. And there were so many more. So for him to win five, he was also there for what? 9 immunities or something like that. Like that's, he didn't win. He didn't go on like a Terry run where he wins five.
But that's happened a lot. I mean, if you remember even back to Australia, like Colby was beating a lot of really bad people at challenges too.
Yeah.
And he was like a superhero compared to those people that were in the end game in Australia, but you know, not, and he wasn't really decent competition.
But what I'm saying is I think it's interesting that over the years Survivor's made it so that it's a little bit – it's more equal of a playing field.
Yeah, it's true.
And it really has worked out because of the challenges that they seem to get rid of year after year, and it really does come down to can you stand on a perch and hold that in front of you? Can you hold your arm above your head? Like the ones that they're now keeping
– or the puzzle component too, which helped Chrissy a lot.
Yeah, the puzzle – well, I think that's also just Chrissy being fantastic at puzzles more than anything. I think she's just great at puzzles. But when you watch this, it's almost skewing now more towards the females. And I think Chrissy – if you're doing puzzles, like Chrissy was just great at puzzles, so she's going to win that. But these ones you have to stand on are like a really – like a narrow perch and stuff. Those have gone the complete opposite of what Colby was winning, and now that's like what Chelsea is winning or what Kelly is winning.
So or I think it's, with like I think a smaller built guy is winning like Ty.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think that they need to find like a little bit more of a middle ground. I think they need to work their way back just a little bit so that somebody like Chris could actually win the challenge that Chelsea just won. Because if you think about it, like you were saying, 100 times out of 100, Dom wins this season. 100 times out of 100, Chris is not winning that challenge.
Yeah, yeah. And it's really tough for those stronger guys, too, because people still assume they think Survivor is old in terms of old school. So they view physical threats as these really, really bulky guys. And so they target them. But really, it's out of step with the reality of who's winning these challenges.
I think it might have been in Micronesia. There was one where you just hold something's tied to you and you just hold a bucket of water over your head.
Yep.
And I mean, Parvati ended up winning that for whatever it's worth. But I liked that one because it didn't skew either way. And I think Phil and I were talking about this. It might have been last season or might have even been this season. The ones where you have to step on a small little perch and just get smaller and smaller. I mean, how big is Chris's foot in comparison to Kellen's foot?
And even when they say that they're divvying it up, like, oh, it's different for like your foot size or whatever. Like they do those challenges sometimes. It's still not enough because the amount of weight that you're putting on that. Like when they had the one that Rupert was in and Coach did, like way back in like Token Chains and Heroes vs. Villains, Rupert, even though his might have been wider, he's holding up like 250 pounds, where the girl who's on the more narrow one is holding up like 150 pounds or whatever they end up being. I think Libby this year was like 120 or 125.
I'm glad you brought that up, Phil. Libby lost like, I think she lost like 15 pounds or something absurd like that.
There's a lot.
And I was not expecting that because recently people haven't been losing like a ton of weight on Survivor. And I know that they really cut their rice portion this season, but I was looking at her Ponderosa and she looked just as surprised as anybody.
Well, I think that, you know, that's something I wanted to mention. I think this is one of the mistakes from this season. And certainly I have, you know, some criticism about the seasons. I think you guys have talked about Ghost Island being a little bit of a bust, which I basically agree with, or a lot of a bust. And I think that, you know, we've also had a bad boot order with so many strong characters going pre-merge. And then I think also we've had an editing problem where I just don't know anything about Sebastian other than he, you know, smokes marijuana. I don't know anything about Jenna. I don't know anything about Chelsea. I didn't really know much about Dez, who has a compelling backstory, but we just didn't hear much about it. And so it's hard to really care too much about these more minor characters. You know, I know they're not going to the finale, but it would be nice if I knew a little bit about them so that when they had this like visibility spike, either the, you know, week before or the week of their boot, that I actually feel something when they go home. But even Dez, who, you know, like I said, has this like really sympathetic backstory that I feel like could have evoked a lot of emotion in viewers, it just wasn't played up enough. So when she went home, I was just sort of like, whoa, that was weird.
But, it was just implied by her, and that was it.
But I'm building up to back to the rice, which is that I think this was a mistake. I think that production probably thought, oh, all these providers keep going home early. That's so annoying. You know, we need to get back to the how Survivor used to be when providers were really important because people needed food desperately, so let's cut their rice portions. But I'm not a fan of it. I mean, as much as I like old school Survivor, it's not fun to watch people starve, and it's not fun to watch medevacs. And so, you know, apparently that's been a huge, huge sort of pall hanging over the whole season based on the exit interviews. Everyone talks about they're not really hyping up the whole, you know, lack of food, the food scarcity on the show, but that they were really feeling it. And I think it was affecting their ability to strategize and their ability to think. We've seen people seem really winded if the challenge is, and it's only day, what, like 27 or whatever. So I'm not a fan of that. I hope that in the future they go back to just giving them the normal amount of rice. I think that it ultimately makes for a better season, because social dynamics and strategy and challenge play, that's what makes the show great. Watching human suffering, I think, is not
something. You're crazy. That's the hot take of the day, Vaughn not enjoying watching human suffering and human starving.
I get where you're coming from, Vaughn.
What kind of person am I?
A monster.
Because I remember in the preseason, they really made a whole thing about how they're getting half the rice, and Jeff wants to put more attention on these providers, which – in my opinion, I was super excited about it, because I was like, I would way rather watch Sebastian hunt down a shark than have Dominic tell me for the seventh time in one episode that it's Navidi versus Malolo. But the problem is, we weren't met halfway. They were given half the rights, but no one's talking about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we see the implications of it in terms of their tiredness level, but we never actually see, like, Sebastian supposedly is like one of the greatest fish catching people ever. He's like rivaling Ozzy out there, but we haven't seen him catch a fish at all.
And Alexa, I think you hit it right on the head. The problem is, if you're going to go back to old school Survivor, you need to focus on, I'm hungry, I'm starving, I want to eat. Like, you know, Australia, when Tina literally goes into that river to get their rice back, like, that's a great moment, because like, you knew they were starving and you were focusing on how hungry they were. In this season, it's just a complete focus on gameplay. And like, I'm fine with that if that's what Survivor's become. I still prefer to like hear like how they're struggling and, you know, like what's upsetting your stomach. I don't even care. Like, give me like them actually struggling. But if you're going to give them half the rice, you need to focus on it, because that's the only way you're going to get screen time from these smaller characters who aren't playing the huge strategic game. And that's why the earlier seasons were, you at least felt like you got to know even the minor characters. And yeah, there's outliers, but you got to know most of the minor characters on the early seasons, because they could at least say, oh my God, I'm so hungry, I can't even move. Like Nick from Panama, which we just rewatched over the summer, not a very interesting character at all. Easily could have been absolutely invisible, but he would come out and be like, I'm starving, I'm really hungry, we ate those beans and I'm going to, you know, I've gone to the bathroom 100 times today. Like, you had those little moments that, like, we're not getting from Chelsea. We had her talk about coffee once, but we also had Donathan talk about coffee. So, like, you're not doing that. Seb has had nothing in terms of, like, catching fish. Jenna's talked nothing about, like, being hungry. Like, let's, like, play it up if you're going to do it. Otherwise, just give them all the food in the world and make a super entertaining strategic season like Heroes versus Villains, where they were just eating.
Yeah, I think that's right. And to go back to my earlier point too, just briefly about the whole whether Donathan or Laurel are going to make the finale. I think the thing that Laurel has going for her is Donathan has really put himself in this tricky situation where I think in reality he's sort of a goat, especially depending on how he well or poorly he plays this idol he has that everyone knows about. But I think people may still be thinking that he's a jury threat, which is something that Ty also suffered from, where people like kind of wanted to get him out because people are like, oh, he's very sympathetic, he's very, you know, he's very nice, everyone likes him, but at the same time, he actually was never going to be able to articulate a case in front of the jury. And I feel like Donathan's suffering from this, where I feel like they may actually want to get him out at 4 or 5, and they may be able to get Laurel to go along with that, they meaning Dom and Wendell, because he's such an interesting guy with a great story and everyone loves him. But I think in reality, if he made it, he wouldn't do very well.
Yeah, and I hope that Dom and Wendell can both somehow get there, because even if Dom wins in a landslide, that at least we got like the two of like the most entertaining people out there to sit at a final. I think that's one of the strongest. That's a really strong pairing you could have there. But what I wanted to say was, when you were talking about invisible characters that you don't really know anything about, or not even invisible, because invisible might be overused, but I would say Chelsea's invisible. But like Chelsea, Seb, Jenna, we don't really know anything about them. What's crazy on this season is, and why I think this season is suffering a bit more than, I mean, when this was coming out, people were talking about this was going to be fantastic. This is going to be like one of the best seasons of Survivor beforehand. And I think why this season's suffering is there's no gigantic character or two. Like, if you look at Millennials versus Gen X, you had invisible characters like Sunday, like Will, but Adam, David, and Jay got a confessional in every single episode. And you, like, for those who don't even like Adam as the winner of that season and would have rather seen David or Jay pull it off, you at least got to know all of them. And you got to know Brett somewhat. And you got to know Ken early on. And then he disappeared, but you knew him from the beginning. And because of his backstory, and Hannah and him had their, like, cute little relationship. Like, so they at least played up enough of the people. In this season, you're not really playing up any of them. I mean, Dom's the only one who has had a confessional in every episode. I think Dom and Michael. And aside from that, there's no giant character that is eating up so much screen time that's like the story of the season.
And even Millennials versus Gen X, you can go back further than those boots, right? Like you had people like Chris, even people like Michelle, who a lot of people thought while they were watching was gonna win. And then you had, you know, of course, Zeke. All these people were booted before, you know, seventh or eighth place, and they still were huge parts of the season. Mm-hmm. So essentially starting at the merge, you had an entire – and, of course, I think the boot order was better because I think you had a couple of duds, honestly, that were booted pre-merge in Millennials versus Gen X, and so that made it easier for them to edit up all of the merge contestants. But it's a huge difference. I mean, I don't think Chelsea can be that boring. I mean, we all talked about how boring she was in the pregame, but the little snippets that we've gotten from her, and maybe I'm just biased because she was my last pick and she's still there, but she's like, she's playing hard. You know, she's not a total just like recruit idiot.
Playing a good game.
Know what she's doing. Like, she's involved in these strategic decisions, and I would like to hear her perspective more. I mean, and you can look at the other kind of confessionals they have on the CBS app too of hers, and she's playing. She's not out there just trying to have a good time or, you know, out there for the experience. She's playing hard, and we just don't know anything about her.
And I think this comes back to what you just said, the lack of food. Somebody, I think Chelsea's really struggling. I think she's exhausted.
She is thin. Yeah, she is looking like, real skinny out there.
Yeah. And I think you hear it in her. I said this to Alexa way earlier in the season, but I said, it sounds like her and Libby are whispering their confessionals. And I think it's because they were losing so much weight. And you have somebody like Chelsea who she's – when the pre-merge, she wasn't very interesting. I thought she was just like a meh character. They put her out there. I didn't even find her to be like the most attractive survivor at all times. So I was kind of like, okay, well, there must be some underlying thing here. Like, what's going on? Like, she wasn't like a Cindy Wheeler cast where it was like obviously like one looking. You're like, okay, I get it, even if you're not that interesting. But like with Chelsea, it was different. And I was like, okay, well, what's going to happen? And I think the only thing that's happened to her is she has starved out there. And because she's so tired and she's not an over-the-top personality to begin with, she's having a hard time like articulating and thinking of like the most interesting way to see things. And that's why her screen time is really lacking, because she went from like Dom on like an average day at the beginning of the season to like now just being like as low as you can be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's true.
Yeah. It's and like at least
Carter from the Philippines.
Yeah, I mean, we got nothing from him. He kind of just became a meme, and Chelsea also has just become a meme at this point. Yeah. But I agree with both of you guys. Like, I get that she's not going to be able to give, like, a Chris type of confessional, but take the generic, you know, like, here is where I'm at in my vote confessional. Take one of those away from a Kellen or a Dominic or a Michael and throw it at her, because if it comes from one of them or if it comes from her, it's still the same content. So you're at least evening it out a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree.
So now that we're half an hour in, do we want to do our power rankings?
Let's do power ranking. So Vaughn is going to take the place of the survivor here. And we'd plan on having Vaughn this week. That's why it was kind of a bummer when John Carroll wasn't able to do it last week, because we knew that we weren't going to have a survivor this week. We were going to have Vaughn, although I know all of you love Vaughn. So that's fine. But this is going to be back-to-back weeks where the Survivor tribe actually isn't being picked by a Survivor. So, Vaughn, you got some pressure here. Last week, the picking out of a hat, Alexa looking at a piece of paper, closing her eyes and just pointing, actually beat Alexa. So you have a little bit of pressure here to keep up.
I'm biased against myself on that one.
Yeah. The points right now, it's I have 86. Team Survivor has 82, and Alexa has 80. So Alexa lost a point last week to Team Survivor.
That is horrifying. I did not know that. That is absolutely terrible.
I just wanted to make sure everybody knew that. But this is the tricky one. This is an episode where it's double boot. There's two immunities. There's two tribal councils. It looks like it's all happening at one time. We don't know if they're splitting it up, guys and girls. We don't know how these two separate tribal councils are actually going to go down. We don't know who's going to win these challenges. So let's take our shots in the dark. Vaughn, I'm sure you have plenty of great reasoning for everything. So I'm curious to hear how this just comes out of nowhere.
There you go.
Vaughn closed his eyes and like whacked a piece of paper 10 times.
So which Alexa actually, you should steal that. Yeah, you should steal that method of your own. Are we thinking as a general consensus here, it's going to be one male, one female win immunity. They get it for both vote outs. Is that what we're thinking? Or maybe like they split it and five go to tribal.
My view is that I originally thought it was going to be one male and one female, but then when I found out it was two tribal councils, I believe there's going to be two simultaneous challenges happening at the same time. And for whatever reason, there's a group of five and a group of five, both mixed guys and girls. Within those groups of five, one person gets immunity, and then they do the two tribal councils. And if Survivor really loved my opinion, what they would do is have the winning tribe do that thing where they eat their reward at tribal council and get to watch it, because that was always my favorite, like my favorite tribal council twist. But that's probably not going to happen. So I don't think it's male versus female. I think it's group versus group.
So I think it is going to be male versus female for the immunity challenge. I just don't know how they're going to do the two separate tribal councils. Cause I think like we've seen this before. Well, they'll do like a challenge and they say, okay, one male and one female are both going to get immunity tonight.
Yeah.
And I think right now it's 5 and 5. It works out really well for them. Cause everybody has like the same chance to win then. And it's like, all right. Cause otherwise how are they randomly picking these two teams then? Is that going to be a schoolyard pick that we don't understand why Donathan sat out again? I mean, hey,
yeah,
you know, we got to talk about that too. But I just think that guy and girl makes the most sense here, although I don't understand how the two separate tribals are going to be divvied up.
Well, I'll go the opposite way. I'm going to say that it's two tribal councils with full people, so all 10 people in each tribal. And I'll say there's some sort of challenge where maybe either – you know, maybe it's male, female, maybe, or maybe it's the top two finishers, or maybe there are two legs of a challenge where everyone competes and who each winner, you know, wins. And then they say, okay, the winner of this leg gets immunity in the first tribal. The winner of this heat gets immunity in the second tribal. Or maybe it's you finish first place in this one challenge, you get immunity in the first tribal. If you finish second, you get immunity in second. Then you have a situation, well, if someone feels safe, do they then throw it? So they get second, and then they're safe in the second tribal. I don't know.
I could see like sort of what you're saying there, but maybe they did like a 5 and 5, and maybe like the top two or the winner of each one then like competed against each other in like one final thing. And the winner of that got immunity for two tribals, and the other person got it for just the first one.
Yeah, I have a hard time thinking that they're going to allow one person or especially two to be immune from back-to-back tribals. I feel like, you know, that just seems way overpowered for one challenge. And especially if it's, you know, then you imagine, you know, if it's someone who's kind of running the game and they want things to be shaken up. I mean, not that production, you know, monkeys with it, but, you know, like they're not going to want some power player who could be vulnerable to get immunity back to back. I don't know. I honestly have no idea. I'm shooting in the dark like anyone else, but I feel confident that one person will have immunity each time.
Okay. So that's your thought.
Yeah.
We all have different takes on it.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say I'm basing my rankings on male and female. I'm just doing it. Cause I don't know what else to base it on. So I'm doing it based on male and female, and I'm also doing it based on edit and who I think has the best chance to win this type of challenge if it is male versus female. I don't know how else to do it, so that's what I'm doing. And so I'm going to go out there, and I'm going to go right away put – I think the male tribal council – what ends up happening is the male tribal council ends up being absolutely phenomenal if this ends up happening, because you have three immunity idols, and I think Michael's going to end up winning immunity this week, although I do have him lower. But I think Michael ends up winning immunity this week. And the only person who is really in trouble if it is male versus female is Sebastian. So I'm going to go out there, and I think no matter what ends up happening, even though he's a Malolo, I think he'll know to play the idol. I'm going to say Donathan is my number one this week because he has this idol. I don't think anybody's looking at him as a huge threat. I mean, imagine if it is a guy tribal council and it's Wendell, Dominic, Michael, Sebastian, and Donathan. Who wants to vote out Donathan? I know that like you got to be thinking like, let's get rid of like a threat, or Dom and Wendell are got each other's backs, and Donathan's actually the third vote with them. So I think Donathan is safe this week. I don't think he wins immunity. Plus, if it goes to a 10-person tribal, I don't see them trying to vote out Donathan here. I see them trying to take out Jenna, maybe take out a Navidi girl because they saw what happened with Dez, and maybe Kellen's thinking that it should still be Laurel. So, or not Laurel, I'm sorry, Chelsea. So I think that Donathan, no matter what the situation is actually in a really, really good spot.
Who's your number one, Vaughn?
I have Dominic, you know, my boy. I just see no way he's going to be voted out in basically any scenario, at least based on the edit. But I mean, even if you had a guy's tribal council, which I'm still not convinced is going to happen, I think that they still wouldn't even go after him. I mean, he has the idol if he felt like maybe Donathan was going to switch and side with Sebastian. But, you know, it would take a lot, I think, for Dominic to be voted out. And you would need a Michael immunity. You would need a guy's tribal. You would need Donathan flipping. You would need it to be a blindside. Mm-hmm. I mean, just so many different things that would have to happen for Dominic to go home. And I think if it's just a regular 10-person tribal or even two of them, I mean, we've just been seeing that he's in absolute control of the game. I think he was somewhat erratic early on, and people were saying that he was playing sort of a sloppier game. But I think now he's transitioned from more of a Tony game to really more of a almost Cochran game, where he's kind of just kind of, you know, very meticulously commanding things from both a social and strategic standpoint. I think he's playing an amazing game. I don't see him going home ever, but I definitely don't. 100 out of 100. So I definitely don't see him going home here.
Can I make an argument here that is completely irrelevant, but I want it to be stated? The reason Dominic is not going to win this season is because the person who does the merge interview with Dalton Ross on EW has never won. And Dominic's not going to be the first.
That's a fun fact.
There you go.
How long has that merge interview been going on for?
I want to say the first one, I think like Mama C might have had one. And then I don't think there was one for Cambodia. And then I think Korong, I don't remember if there was one, but whoever it was, it wasn't Michelle. And then what ended up happening was the season after that, who was the season after that? I know the season after that also wasn't Adam. Connect. Yeah, it wasn't Adam. I forget who it was. I know they did one that season, but it wasn't Adam. And then after that, it was Debbie, because she ended up talking about like the whole Zeke thing. That was like the big focal point of that. The one after that was Ryan, and now this one is Dominic. So the person who's done it has never won.
Small sample size.
But hey, I mean, I'm just, I just want to throw that out there.
Fair enough. So we've got the merge interview versus the 100 out of 100. So we'll see. Something's got to get.
What happens? Yeah. Something's got to give. My number one, I put Wendell. And I actually, when I was making my power rankings, I had Donovan and Dominic, which I still will never be able to say in the same sentence. I had them both around number one too, but I ended up going with Wendell at number one. I think, he's got that huge immunity necklace. He has been crushing it in immunity challenges. And now when maybe if there is the opportunity where all 10 of them are competing and there's two immunity idols there, his chances just increase. He's got a 1 out of 5 chance of winning, basically. And I think he's in a good position. Even if he doesn't win these immunities, I think he knows this. Did you, what's up?
No, go. Nothing. I'm looking. Tony actually did the interview in Cagayan.
There you go. 100 out of 100. So there you go. Dominic wins a season. This podcast. I think Wendell's smart enough. I think, like we've talked about, I think Donathan isn't as tight with this Wendell and Dominic group as Laurel is. And I think Laurel is already starting to express, like, okay, now that it's getting a little bit, now that the sample size is getting smaller, I might need to pull away from them. And I think Wendell really needs Laurel, because I think him and Dominic will eventually turn on each other too. They say that they're super tight. I'm not sure that they will. So I guess I'm kind of preparing for Wendell to become a lone wolf. And with that, he's going to need immunity, and he already has one. But I think at the moment, he's in a really, really good position.
Yeah, I'll do my next two, because you guys just talked about them and you both had them at one, so you have better reasoning. I have Dominic and Wendell. I go Dominic 2, Wendell 3. We saw this in Millennials vs. Gen X. Sunday and Will were the boots in this double boot episode. And I don't necessarily think either of them are boring. I mean, we've talked to both of them. We like both of them. I'm sure that they don't pop off the screen like a Jay or a David, that's for sure. But they got like barely any screen time because they went in that double boot episode. And I feel like now that's what's going to happen here. And no way are we losing Dominic and Wendell in this episode. They both have idols. They're the Dominic especially is the face of the season right now. I mean, Wendell has had less of an edit than people think. It was picking up, and then, like Vaughn, you said, it really dropped off last week. But I just don't think either of them go this week, especially if Wendell was going to go this week. We would have heard a lot more from him last week because they know he's a fan favorite.
Yeah, I've got him at two. I definitely don't think he's going anywhere anytime soon. I mean, I think he's definitely finale material. And me saying that Dominic wins the season 100 out of 100 is no statement about Wendell's game at all, who I think is really playing a phenomenal game. I think maybe the only flaw is that it seems like everyone else in the game knows that he's playing a good game. It seems like that people would maybe target him above Dom because he's shown more challenge prowess. But no, I don't think he's going anytime soon, both based on his strong social connections with so many people, his idol, and the edit. There's absolutely no way he goes home here.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I totally agree. People like him a lot more than, I mean, I know that we know they like him, but that one time when it was like, oh, Wendell might go home, like he did not play the idol. He didn't even think about playing the idol. Like he knows exactly where he sits with this tribe.
Mm. Yep.
Vaughn, you want to go to your number two?
Oh, Wendell
was two.
Wendell was two.
Jumped to three, I guess. But yeah, I have Laurel at three. This is once again sort of the order of in terms of power order I have just generally. I don't think that she's going home either. I think that she is playing a good social game. I think she's playing both sides. I highly doubt that sort of either faction would target her. I don't think that a woman's tribal council would target her. So I actually put her over Donovan, even though he's got the idol, because I think it's a little bit more likely that he goes home and maybe is blindsided with the idol because people are viewing him as sort of a social threat out there. But Laurel, to me, she's doing a really good job of kind of playing both sides and getting along with everyone. But I do have a big meta theory about Laurel. I think I'll unleash it.
You've been sitting on this one.
Okay, I've been sitting on this. It's a little half-baked. I think that maybe if you would have given me a couple more weeks, I could have really fleshed it out. But I think that if you're, you know, people, the reason I'm saying this, and it's in also in response to the fact that Kellen got LVP this week, because I think that a lot of people are saying that Laurel is playing an amazing game. She gets nothing but praise from everyone. And I think that more often, Phil notwithstanding, who is obviously a big Kellen stan, people are saying that Kellen is playing an erratic game and playing a bad game. And I think that certainly in terms of their strategies, Kellen is doing a worse job of effectuating it. But here's the big theory. If you're going to win Survivor, you've got to play to win. Mm-hmm. And if you want to play to win, you've got to know the limitations of someone in your archetype. Mm-hmm. And that includes, unfortunately, your gender. Okay, so if you look at the number of female winners, you know, there's something like 15 or maybe 14 if you're counting Sandra twice. But there are only a few ways, if you go back historically, and I know you guys are historians, so you can sort of double check my history here, but there are only a few ways that women win the game of Survivor. And maybe this is a testament to the fact that Survivor is kind of a microcosm of society and that women have it, you know, tougher on both the show and in real life. Maybe it's because women don't find idols as much, and in modern gameplay, it's tough to win without an idol. But you can really, I think, narrow it down to four ways women have won. Okay, you guys ready for this?
This is amazing.
I'm gonna try to keep this
as short as possible.
I am buckled up.
No, this is fine. Go. I'm like writing down the female winners right now, so I can tell you if you're right or wrong.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think there are four, and maybe there are a couple outliers that I'm missing, but I think there are four ways. The first way is not available for Kellen or for Laurel this season, and that's to take Russell Hance to the end. Okay, Russell is not on this season, but that's a way that two winners have been able to win is they beat Russell. Or, you know, someone similar who's, you know, villainous and people hate. I don't think that character really exists. There's no, like, extreme villain that everyone hates this season, male or female. So that option, I think you can throw out. I think no one's a Natalie White this season. Okay. So then you have a number two, and I think this is the most popular strategy played by women contestants on Survivor, and that's to play sort of an under-the-radar, low-key game where you make good social connections. I think this is a somewhat common way for women to win. However, I think that there are a couple of problems with it. One, it usually doesn't work. If you take the number of women that have tried this and then the number of women that have been successful, it's a very low percentage play. And then number two, you're really, you're really hoping luck is on your side, because since you're not dictating the terms of the game, you know, like for example, Sandra didn't really dictate the terms of Pearl Islands, though some may disagree. You're really kind of hoping that things fall in your favor a little bit. So while I think that that's a viable strategy, and I think that, you know, for some people, maybe their personality means they can only play that strategy, I think that it's not the optimum strategy, optimal strategy, because a lot of it, you're leaving it up to a lot of chance. You're not taking the game under your control. So I wouldn't advise that. So that really brings you to three ways that if Russell Hannon isn't on your season and you want to sort of control your own fate and you're a woman, you've got two options. So Laurel and Kellen, tune in. There are two ways that you can win. One is you can be Sarah Lucina and you can play a really aggressive sort of ping pong style game or pendulum strategy, to quote Will Wall, and go back and forth and make good social connections, but instead of being kind of a fly in the wall and playing passively, you play super actively. And maybe this strategy is actually more available to women than it is to men, because women like Sarah Lucina have been able to get away with it without being deemed a threat. Whereas when men try this strategy, Tony notwithstanding, they're usually labeled as this big threat and we have to get them out immediately. And that's how people were treating Dom at the beginning. And that's how people, you know, would have treated Russell Hantz, I think, that if he wouldn't have played like back-to-back with Samoa and Heroes versus Villains. So this strategy, I think, is more available to women. But I think the problem with this strategy is that we haven't seen very many women, and once again, check my history on this, pull it off, who haven't been returnees. Mm-hmm. We haven't seen a whole lot of women play a very aggressive strategy. And I think the reason Sarah was able to get to the end using this strategy is because people underestimated her based on her first game. And so that's why I think it's tricky for kind of a first-time player to play. And so that leads me to what I think is the best strategy for women on Survivor who want to win.
This is fantastic.
Control their own destiny and not play with Russell Hantz and not be a returnee. That leaves one option, and that's take women to the end. If you look back at almost every female winner, including the ones that we praise the most, from Natalie Anderson to Kim Spradlin to Parvati, almost all of them took women to the end. And even I would say that you could put an asterisk next to it, but even like Michelle Fitzgerald, I think mostly played like a low-key game and got a little bit fortunate. I know you love her, but she still, that was a season where you had a lot of women at the end. And Ty, you know, is not someone you consider obviously like some sort of like big masculine figure. But usually when women, even when they play a good game, and Sophie Clark is sort of like an outlier here too, actually. I've thought about her as an outlier.
Coach. You have Coach, though.
Coach could has a little bit of a Russell Hantz type thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But in general, like, when women go to the end, you know, say you're Chrissy, you've played a great game, you've won a bunch of challenges, but if you take a man to the end, you lose. You're Hannah, you've played a really good game. You think you're going to beat Adam. You know, and when you're on Survivor, you always think that you're the protagonist, right? Mm-hmm. I think it's helpful if female players win in, and instead of thinking so much about your own situation, think about other players who have played. And in the back of your head, always be thinking, like, it's really tough to beat a dude. And that's just, it's sad. I mean, I'm not endorsing that this is a reality, right? I mean, clearly this is sucks and clearly is like wrapped up in sexism somehow. But if you're Hannah and you start thinking, oh, I can beat Adam at the end, you need to also be thinking, like, how many women have beaten men? And you need to start thinking about not only getting David out, but also getting Adam out as early as possible. And hell, maybe even having to get Ken out and shift your entire strategy. So I say all that, and we can go back in the history and we can discuss this more.
Oh, I have it.
But
this is amazing.
Okay, good. The conclusion here is that even though it seems that Laurel is playing a technically better game, her meta strategy, which appears to be to take Wendell and Dominic to the end, is a losing game probably 100 times out of a 100. Whereas Helen, who is not playing a great game technically, and we've seen all her flaws and all of her warts, and she's winning LVP, getting LVP, her meta strategy of taking the Navidi girls to the end is a winning strategy. And mm-hmm. she may not be able to pull it off this season. It looks like probably based on the edit, she's not going to pull it off. Her head is 100% in the right place, which is that she wins probably close to 100 out of 100 if she goes to the end with Angela, with Laurel, with Chelsea, with Dez, or any assortment of them. Maybe she doesn't win 100 times out of 100, just like maybe Dez wouldn't have won if she had taken all women to the end. Mm-hmm. But she's much more increasing. She's increasing her probability, you know, 10 or 15 fold based on the seasons of Survivor that we've seen. Now, there is a small sample size. I'd feel more confident about this theory if we had seen 100 or 200 seasons of Survivor, but we've seen enough where I think, you know, there are only a few ways that we've seen women win. There are a bunch of ways for men to win. I mean, you can be like, you know, Bob Crowley, you know, on the one hand, or you can be Mike Holloway, or you mean their men can win however they fuck, you know, however they want.
Whoa! Sorry. We got Trezane on the podcast.
With apologies to Trezane for stealing his shtick, but men can win. You know, men can win. You know, like if you're a man, you're going on Survivor, just be yourself, and like, you know, we'll see what happens. Maybe you could break the mold. But I think, sadly, if you're a woman, you need to be thinking about how other women have won. And I think that your best odds is to just start getting dudes out as soon as possible.
Well, here we go.
That was amazing.
So here we go. Thank you. There have been 15, and like you said, 14 if you don't count Sam.
Yeah, right, okay.
There's three that I think don't really fit into your thing.
Okay, I'm ready.
All right. First of all, the first winner ever is Tina. First female winner.
I don't think
Tina fits into this because she took Colby to the end. She played a somewhat aggressive game, but she didn't just build relationships. There were people out there who didn't like Tina. And if you rewatch Tina's season, Tina was pretty ruthless, but she still played behind the scenes. And she didn't sit down at the end next to Rob Mariano. She didn't sit next to Russell. She didn't sit next to Coach. So I give you Sophie with Coach because I think that one's okay.
Yeah, and I think Tina, I mean, that's totally fair. And like, at the risk of like creating too many like caveats, it was a long time ago. It was a different type of Survivor, and it was a very close vote. Mm-hmm. But you're right. I mean, you know, it is. She is an outlier, and you're going to have outliers. I think that doesn't necessarily make the theory not true. I mean, it's still like you're increasing your odds if you win in one of these ways. But I agree. I agree that Tina doesn't fit neatly into those categories.
Yeah, and I think that what ended up happening with Sarah and the reason she was able to beat somebody who had a very similar Colby-type thing was that Brad just wasn't as likable as Colby was. Yeah, so I think Sarah played more aggressively and sat next to a villain and sat next to, who was the other one? Oh, and Trezane, who didn't really do much, or at least they didn't think he did anything. One, and this one's like further on, and this one, it's probably easily answered just because – I don't think people liked Scoopin', and I think Lisa sat there. But Denise, which game do you actually think Denise played in that strategy? That's more of my question.
Yeah, that's a really good question. I mean, I would actually put her on the spectrum of, well, first of all, it's kind of a little complicated, I guess, when you have three finalists too. But I think that she really, I think, got lucky, to be honest. I mean, I really liked
Denise. She was going to take Malcolm to the end.
Yeah, I really liked Denise's game. I mean, I really like her. In fact, I think she's like one of my top 10 favorite winners. Mm-hmm. But think about how narrowly she missed losing this season, right? She was going to take Malcolm to the end. He was going to get her booted fourth. He is this huge challenge beast, one of the biggest challenge beasts we've seen. But there's one weird hang-up with his entire physique and spectrum of skills he has, which is that his hands are shaky. Mm-hmm. What are the odds that was the final challenge? If it's any other challenge, I like Malcolm's odds to win. And in that scenario, Denise does not win the season. So even though I think she played an amazing social game, just like Sandra has played, just like Laurel has played, she made the fatal error of taking too many guys to the end, and it should have cost her, but she got lucky.
She did, and Malcolm also had two shots at that. That's a challenge, though, and I'm
very similar. Yeah, he had an advantage.
Yeah,
I would never win that challenge. Like, I know that no matter what, and he even said that. He said before the season started, he knew he wouldn't win that challenge.
Yeah, I mean, if you give Malcolm two chances to win just about any other challenge at Final Four, mm-hmm. how many times does he lose?
He wins.
He wins, you know, and yet she did not bake that into her strategy. And, of course, she had other obstacles to overcome, including her starting tribe. So I'm not saying she isn't a good player. She is. But if she wanted to maximize her chances of victory, she would have played a different way. Now, that doesn't mean that if you don't take women to the end, you can't win. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying you're maximizing your chances if you play in a way that most winners have won.
And the last one, and this is the ultimate outlier pretty much of every female winner anyway, but it's Jenna Maraska.
Well,
Because she didn't play aggressively. She didn't build very good relationships.
Yeah.
Matthew was not a coach. He freaked people out, but he didn't piss people off. They just thought he was kind of weird, and I don't think they wanted to give him
the likability factor.
Yeah, so
he's got a pure,
Russell Hantz, like total goat figure. Yeah,
so he actually did like okay that season. He just had no social game at all.
But I do think that she got lucky. I mean, I think that she's someone who played okay socially. You know, even though she tried to quit. You know, I rewatched Amazon, you know, recently, and even though the edit was not kind to her, you know, I think that she did okay, right? Like, people just generally did like her, and mm-hmm. she definitely tried to play an under the radar style game. And so I think that this, she would fall into like the like two bucket of like being one of the many, many most women that try to play an under the radar socially based game that didn't dictate the terms of her season, but who got lucky and fell into a victory. So I actually think she neatly falls into it. A way to win.
I don't think she built the relationships like a Michelle did or like a Sandra did. Like, I think Sandra built legitimate relationships on Pearl Islands. And yeah, she sat next to the ultimate GOAT. Yeah. But like, her and Russell's relationship was legitimate. Her and I can't even remember her name. There were other people on that season that she built legitimate relationships with.
Now, I guess I'll clarify. I don't mean that when you play like that low-key social game that you're always really good at it, like that every woman who has done that successfully is amazing at it. I'm just saying that like that is a course that several people have taken to get to the end, and it's viable. And I think for certain personalities, like Natalie White may have never been able to play an aggressive game. Mm-hmm. And maybe based on her starting tribe, she would have had a really hard time bringing only women to the end. So her only way was basically to try to play an under the radar game, and just sort of like hope that the cards fall as they may. And so you can either be good or bad at that strategy. I'm just saying that like it is a strategy that women have used to win, and I don't think it's a very good one because luck has to be on your side. And I think if you're going on to play, you know, the game of games, you want to like dictate a little bit your fate.
Yeah, and so now getting back to the power rankings, my number four, I have Laurel. And I do think that Laurel could win this game, but she cannot win the game if she sits down next to Wendell or Dominic at the end of the game. And I don't know if she thinks she can beat them. I just think that she's sitting there saying, I need to use them at least a little bit more so I don't end up on the wrong side numbers, because if I get rid of one of them now, there's just too many people left. Final 10, that's a lot of people to be handling. You want to get rid of Dom and Wendell, ideally, like around 7, 6, 8, somewhere in there, I think, for your best chance. Because at that point, you have the numbers. You can tell people that they're big threats. And you're also one of the people they think is a really close ally. So I think that Laurel right now is in a really good spot. The one downfall she is going to have is if she does end up sitting next to Wendell or Dom, because she would never beat them. And it really wouldn't be – I don't think it would be because she played a really bad game. I think it would just be that – Dominic and Wendell were louder in their moves. They were a little bit more likable. Whatever it ends up being, Laurel could get one vote or two votes. She might get Donathan's vote if Donathan's on the jury. But I don't think, for the most part, like, Chris is not going to vote for Laurel. You know, and like, if you look at some of the people who are already on the jury, they're not going to vote for Laurel. And I think that's what ends up hurting her.
I think just to really add to that, you put Laurel at the final three with Wendell or Dominic. I think a lot of people are also forgetting about the Navidi versus Malolo dynamic. There are going to be minimal Malolos on this jury. There could be one on the jury, the way things are shaping up. So, like you said, Phil, like, Chris isn't going to vote for Laurel. Like, I think a lot of times that still does boil back to, who have I known the longest? Who do I even know on this? Mm-hmm. And so I think that's a disadvantage to Laurel, too. I actually have her at number three because in the context of just this episode, I think she's in a really good spot. I put Dominic at number two and Laurel at number three.
Okay.
I know we've kind of beaten these guys to the ground, but at least for Dominic, I think he and Wendell, I think they're still super tight. I think with Laurel, she's the only person in the top half of my power rankings who doesn't have an advantage. So spoiler for my 4 and 5. But I think that's okay, because I think in this kind of vote, people are either going to go very, very simple or they're going to do something absolutely wild. And Laurel doesn't fall into either of those categories. She's not an easy vote because voting her out affects Wendell and Dominic and Donathan and the other Malolos. And making a crazy wild move affects Dominic, Kellen, Wendell. So I think she's kind of just floating safely in the middle. And I don't know what to say after that speech, Vaughn, because that was amazing.
Well, here's the one thing. I'm looking at how many Malolos are left, and there's 4 Malolos left in the game. And Libby's already on the jury. So we know that, I would say realistically, you're probably going to get 3 Malolos on the jury. But 3 is not going to be enough to win on a 10-person jury. So if that's all Laurel were to get, and hey, maybe Dominic screws over Wendell and Wendell goes to the jury and says, I'm voting for Laurel. She was loyal to me the whole time. you know, he's really talked up Laurel, Wendell has, and it seems like he's ready for a downfall actually at the hands of Laurel. But I think Laurel has a bit of a chance. I just don't think that chance is against either of those people. If she sits down next to Kellen, that's a very interesting final three, because who's going to get the votes from the Navidi women? Who's Desiree going to vote for? Because she's saying that Kellen was controlling this game. So what's going to end up happening? I mean, I'll say just my number five, since I'm talking about it, my number five is Kellen, you know, the LVP of last week. But if you read every exit interview, every single exit interview, Des is saying, I was going to take Kellen out. I was going to take Kellen out. I was going to take Kellen out. Kellen stayed in the game because of the relationships she has built with other people. Other people came to her and said, Kellen, this is what's going on. And even though people might think Kellen is a threat, they all still decided to side with her because of the relationship she has built to knock out Desiree. So I like, she didn't lose a best friend last week because that best friend was ready to slit her throat and then work her way down the line. She was just starting off with Kellen. So I think that Kellen right now, well, I think you were right. She had the right strategy. She was ready to go to the end with these people that she started out with and who she knew she could beat. I mean, she was ready to go with Desiree and Chelsea because she knew that there was no way she loses in that final three. And she could have just said, I've controlled this game literally since day one in a very Kim Spradlin way, because she would have walked to the end with the two people she said she was going to walk to the end with. So Desiree smartly tries to make the move, just tries to make the move on the wrong person and should have taken out one of the guys first. And by going after Kellen, Kellen obviously didn't just build relationships with the girls. She's also built relationships with people on Malolo like Michael. She's built relationships with people like Dominic and Wendell. And that is why she's still in the game. And I think still in a pretty good spot. I really don't think Kellen goes home this week.
I don't think Kellen goes home either.
I'm done.
Vaughn, I know I'm jumping ahead of you here. I put Kellen at my number four. And I agree with everything you say. I think she is in a good position going into this. I see where you're coming from with like, it's like Des went for her. So she has to fight back. She can't just like die. She can't just let herself go home. And I think this is probably the week where Kellen uses her extra vote. They haven't brought that up since she found it. I think as soon as like the previously on Survivor, she's going to probably talk about the extra vote and it's going to happen. That's how Izzy's going down, which is a large part of the reason why I don't think she's going home. So, quote unquote, she lost to Ally, and just like Des once was an ally and Des is now gone. Chelsea was also on the wrong side of that. So I don't really know where Kellen's going to go here. And so I think she can use that extra vote to take her closer to Dom and Wendell, maybe closer to the Malolas, wherever she wants to go. So I think Kellen has a lot of options in this vote, and that's why I have her so high up.
Yeah, I agree. And even if it's like a women thing, I think that Chelsea probably still goes with her over going with Jenna. I think Angela still goes with her over going with Jenna. Laurel might try to stir something up, but even if Laurel tries to stir something up, Kellen can at least play the extra vote to tie it or something. You know, mm-hmm. So I think that even if it's a female tribal council, I think Kellen's okay. So I think she's okay this week. Really, and I said this to you, Alexa, earlier this week, if Kellen was going to be LVP of any of these episodes, it should have been the one before last week, because she didn't tell Desiree what the vote was going to be. And that's actually what pissed off Desiree. And Des admitted that in her exit press. She said, I had no idea, I was completely in the dark, and I thought it was all part of a plan. And I know, I think it was like in the Gordon Holmes interview, Gordon was like, wow, I'm really shocked that you weren't let in on this. And I think that's where Kellen made her mistake. The week after that, she did everything she was supposed to stay in the game. And yes, she might have been reluctant to vote out Des, but she doesn't want to vote out Des because she knows she can go to the end and beat Des. And she's hoping that she can just keep using Des's vote to knock out the big threats in the game.
I'm looking forward to hearing why Kellen didn't include Des in that vote. I'm really looking forward to hearing why Kellen did that.
Yeah, I am too.
I think maybe she was just getting especially close to Angela. I mean, based on the exit interviews, it definitely sounded like Angela and Des had a bond. And so I think like indirectly, because Angela was linked with Chris, they thought that maybe she would tell Angela and then Angela would tell Chris, and maybe that's why they left her out. Because it doesn't seem like, from what we've seen and from what she said, that she has an insanely close relationship with Chris. So I think maybe Kellen thought like, oh, well, she's really close with Angela. But I think overall, I think you're absolutely right that I think that that was a mistake ultimately that Kellen almost paid the price for. But I think this past episode, if you do look through it from the prism of my like grand treatise, which is that ultimately you're trying to win, then Kellen was right to be resistant to the idea of voting out Dez. She was right to try to sort of patch that together and smooth over any ruffles, because her whole plan is she wants to take these Navidi women to the end, get to the final six or seven with Wendell and Dom, pick those two guys off, and then she's set. And I think she'd absolutely played within the confines of that winning strategy. She ultimately demurred to Dom and voted out, you know, Dez because she had to, but she still got two potential goats left in Chelsea and in Angela. So her strategy is still pretty much intact. And she can use those three to vote out Dom and Wendell, maybe pick up a Malolo like Jenna as well to help her out. Whereas I think Laurel really honestly maybe the LVP of the episode, because even though she was sharing information with Dom, even though she sort of won this battle that she had with Dez and people believed her, now I think that she may have missed her one opportunity to start getting rid of these guys who I think will beat her in the end. She had a perfect opportunity. She didn't have to tell Dom. She could have gone with Dez. She could have gotten Donathan in, and they could have picked off either Kellen or they could have picked off Wendell. It may have even been a better idea since she was obviously closer with Kellen. But they could have picked off one of the targets that Laurel needs to pick off if she's going to win. And now how many, you know, we have 10 people left, and there are three people probably at least, maybe even four if you include Kellen, but at least Michael, Dom, and Wendell need to go in the next few votes. So she only has there are 7 votes left.
Well, I don't even know if there's 7, because if it's the fire-making challenge at Final
that's
4...
That's true. So maybe 6, and she's got to get out these three guys in those 6 votes, and 2 of them have idols.
Yeah, exactly,
and they're in her alliance, and the other one has shown a propensity to find idols. All 3 of them are threats to win challenges, so all of a sudden her margin for error is really winnowing in terms of getting rid of these people. I think she had a perfect opportunity at 11 to at least get rid of one. Now I think the odds are really against her to sort of get them all out in time. And I guess I'll just continue with my list. So I have Donathan 4. We've sort of already talked about him. But, I mean, he's got an idol. I don't think he's going home. I do think he's in a little bit of a trickier spot than Laurel, because I think he could be seen as a jury threat if it was like a guy's tribal or something like that. And then I have Angela 5, actually. And I'll go ahead and skip ahead. I have Kellen, since we talked about her, it's 6. I actually think Angela... even though we didn't hear from her much last week, which is unfortunate because a lot of this drama was happening when she was at Ghost Island. And then, of course, she couldn't vote. So it's really actually difficult to parse exactly where she stood on the whole Desiree thing. You know, was she aligned with her and Chelsea? Was she more sympathetic towards Kellen? And that's actually, I think, a big flaw in the season, is we haven't heard enough about where Angela stands. And I think she could be a decisive vote going forward. I actually feel like she could be someone that could betray the Navidi women down the stretch in a way that kind of dooms them. But we just don't know. But what I do know is I find it somewhat unlikely. This is why I have her over Kellen, that she's going home. I think that she would have had a little bit more of a visibility spike. We didn't actually see very much of her, despite the fact that she went to Ghost Island. To me, she would not be a target of anyone. She's kind of the perfect opportunity that if kind of the Wendell Dom side wins out, she's going to be the last person they pick off. They're going to pick off basically everyone else before her. And if Kellen comes up with some other plan to start, you know, getting out maybe Wendell and Dom, or maybe they start continue pogonging Michael and Jenna, and then maybe Sebastian as well, I just don't see really any scenario where Angela goes home. And then I have Kellen 6, who I don't think that she's going home this week. I mean, largely because of editing. I mean, it's a double boot episode, like you said. She's such a big character this season. It would be really weird to sandwich her into a double boot episode. But I do think she's a little bit more vulnerable than some of the other people this week, just because Dez really put a big bullseye on her as someone who's running and controlling the game. And even though she failed at her ability to take out the queen, everyone now is absolutely on notice that a potential jury member thinks that she's running the game. And so I think that Kellen, even though she'll probably be safe this week, I think could really be vulnerable next week or the week after.
Yeah, and what you just said there, we're going to have six people in this finale. I think Angela is the sneaky sixth.
Finale?
Like, what the hell? Starting this season, there's no way. We all thought that she was going to be one of the first two boots. None of us picked her. We gave her to Joe and said, forget it. There's no way she makes it far.
Joe prevails
because I really think she has a better chance of making the finale than Sebastian, Jenna, and Chelsea. And I wouldn't be surprised if she made it over Michael or Laurel, or maybe both of them.
Or even Kellen, honestly. Kellen is the boot right before the finale because, you know, if Dom and Wendell keep Laurel and Donovan on their side and they start getting rid of that other kind of Kellen side, Angela's going to be the last person they get out.
You're absolutely right. And I have Angela at six. So I do agree with you. There's no way. I just don't see it this week. She might go home at some point. Like, maybe we're wrong and, like, somebody plays an idol and somehow Angela is the person who got one vote, or it's a really stupid Cerie Field situation and somehow Angela goes home. But I just don't see it this week. I mean, once Chris went, I think people were just looking at Angela like, whatever. But I agree with you. The biggest problem right now is she gets no vote. We have no idea who she was actually hoping would go home last week. Did she want it to be Dez? Is she mad now at everybody? Like, we have no idea who she actually wanted out, and it's a shame.
And she wasn't there for the fight either. So
yeah, she wasn't.
She wasn't. I'll play devil's advocate here. I have Angela a little lower down, so in case she does not become a final tribal council loser and she does go home this week, I will at least be able to take the credit for that.
There you go.
Did you guys go down to your number six?
We've already done six. You're on five now.
I'm on five. Okay, so my five is Donovan, and we've really beaten him to the ground at this point. But I think I didn't consider this as much until we started talking about this, but there are a lot of people who know about Donovan's idol. And I think people walked into the season and they were like, okay, this guy, Dominic, he's going to find an idol. Like, this guy, Wendell, he could probably find an idol. Michael's had his back against the wall the entire time. This guy's probably going to find an idol. I think I don't really know how the other players feel about Donovan. I think we talked about how he has a really good social game. We've talked about how some people might not be taking him seriously. And so I think as soon as he gets an idol, there is going to be a bit of a target on him, especially because in this group of tiny Malolos that's already not, like, super unified, they could just jump on this Navidi train and go for Donovan and just completely blindside him. But on the flip side, he's a huge Survivor fan. I'm sure he'll know when to play his idol. So I purposely stuck him at number five just to put him right in the middle. And then for number six, I actually put Sebastian. And I'm sure you guys have him significantly lower than I do. He's definitely he's got no form of an edit. This could be a Sebastian and Jenna, like, back-to-back boot. Like, that could very well be how this is going to go down. I don't know. I feel like we got so much of him at the beginning, and then for him to just completely die like this would be really weird. I feel like they want us to have a lot of fun with Sebastian, and I have so much fun watching him. And so I've been pretty disappointed not seeing him. So I feel like when he goes, it's going to be not an entire, like, Sebastian-centered episode, but I feel like we're going to get some kind of build-up to it because he could and should be a fan favorite.
So with probably the shock of all these, and I don't know, maybe somebody's, like, crazy like me, but my number seven is Michael. And this might be, like, way too high, but it's a double. You have him at seven, too?
Yeah.
What about you, Vaughn? You have him at seven?
I actually have – so I have Sebastian at seven and Michael at eight. So similar. Yeah.
Okay. So here's my thinking with Michael. Probably, I think Dom is probably the one that everybody thinks is going to win. And I know Wendell has fans, Kellen has fans, but Michael's got to be the one that everybody's, like, latched onto. I know my family has latched onto Michael. A lot of people love Michael. He was the underdog literally the entire time. He's the 18-year-old kid who comes out there and he's figuring it out. And he has had his back against the wall the whole time. Like, he probably goes home if he doesn't pull out that idol and say it's good for two people. And it's probably him who goes home instead of Brendan all the way back at 18 or whatever it was. So that's how much, like, Michael has overcome in this game. And I know that this isn't a double boot that's arbitrarily picked like it was with Sunday and Will, where it was like 8 and 7. We're just going to do them here. This is a double tribal council. But I just don't think Michael goes this week. It looks like he's going to try to fake an idol somehow. I think he has a really good chance to win this immunity challenge, mainly because, or at least get some sort of form of immunity, mainly because if they do divvy it up into guys versus girls, none of those guys are going to beat him, I don't think, in, like, this type of challenge where it looks like you're just pulling up on the thing. This is something that he should be able to win. It is all upper body arm strength. Nobody there should have better arm strength than him on this whole season. Like, even if it's guys and girls mixed together, there's no way he should lose this challenge. And so,
well, Chris is one of the best athletes of all time. So I think he probably wins that.
Who?
Chris.
Oh, well.
Yeah. You said anyone. Luckily, Chris is like the best athlete we've ever seen.
Well, that's, I mean.
Luckily for everybody else, Chris is trying to serenade both Libby and Des. Yeah,
exactly.
At the same time.
Watching the African dance too on Ponderosa was amazing. But I just don't see how Michael loses this challenge. And if he does, it's just like they have played up Michael so much. And there are three people sitting there who I have below Michael who have literally done nothing. And it's not necessarily their fault. But from what I've watched as a viewer, and I always make this argument with Natalie White when people try to say she's a good winner, I can only base it on what I've seen. And what I've seen from these three people is double boot, goodbye, you're both out of here. So I have Michael at 7. I think he sneaks by again this week. And man, he would be two episodes away from the finale. He might be your guy who goes right before the finale.
Yeah, he could be I think he's like a fire-making loser. That's where I see Michael ending up.
I think I see him somewhere in between. I think I see him at like 5 or 6 maybe, and I think it might see like Angela in that other spot where they both make the finale, and one of them is sort of like a goat eliminated randomly, and one is kind of this like heroic, he got close but not close enough.
Yeah, we have a 6-person finale. That is rough.
Yeah, but so I'll just briefly explain. So I agree with actually a lot of the thoughts that both of you said. I did put Sebastian higher than Michael. I don't think either of them necessarily are going to go home. I do think Michael is more likely. So I think Sebastian, I agree with Alexa that I think that you'd have more of a spike in his visibility in the last couple weeks. We just haven't seen anything from him. And we got so much extraneous content from him that was just not necessary at all in the early game. You would have thought that would come back. I mean, you also like don't forget about the scene where Wendell gives him like the necklace or whatever, or the shell, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's like, why were we shown that if then Sebastian's just going to be unceremoniously booted without them ever coming back to that theme? I think Sebastian's going to play an important role, probably siding with Dom and Wendell at some point around maybe 7 or 8. So I think he has to survive this tribal to do so. And I just think that we would have been shown more this past episode from him if he was then going to be one of the next two boots. Michael, I agree, though. I think he's going to probably slip by here. I mean, I put him lower than Sebastian because I definitely think there's a possibility that if he loses, they just say, okay, now's the time. We have two tribals back-to-back. He's vulnerable. We have to get rid of him now. We don't believe this idol. So I think he could definitely go home. But I agree that he's gotten this huge hero edit. He's like the king of the casuals. Yours truly made a tremendous value pick getting him in like, you know, the 4th or 5th round or whatever. I got it. I totally called him being awesome despite the fact that he was 18. You guys were super wrong. You know,
we were.
I just wanted to put that out there.
We absolutely were. I mean, my whole tribe was wrong. I had Libby, James, Brennan, Morgan, Desiree. I mean, that's a wrong tribe.
Yeah, well,
that's a sad tribe.
But I think Michael may pull it out again. I for all the reasons that you mentioned, Phil, I think that he's just too big of a character to go out in a double boot, even if it's an unintentional double boot. And I just have maybe he gets booted with someone who just like Chelsea that just has a completely invisible edit and they just spend a lot of the time talking about how amazing of a player he was and how sad it is that he's going to go home. And they're able to do that because they don't have to give Chelsea very much content. But whether or not he wins immunity, and of course, I'm not sure that it's going to be guys or not, and I'm not really sure if he's going to win or not. But just from an editing perspective, it's hard to see it. And I think from a strategy standpoint, for those of you who don't like us just talking about the edit all the time, I do think them showing him talking to Dom last episode could end up being really crucial. Because all we've seen is him sort of bonding with Kellen and then being on previous sides. But Kellen was trying to go after him. Yeah. So Michael now, any loyalty or, you know, he felt towards Kellen, I think, is out the window. She was leading the charge trying to get him out. Dom is the one that ultimately saved him as far as what we were shown in targeting Des. And we were also shown Dom and Michael kind of bonding over this kind of like big guys meat shield type idea. And that could end up playing a role in this next episode. I think maybe we were shown that for a reason. Editing wise, but I also just think strategically, Dom is running the show. So to the extent that Michael can ingratiate himself to him, then maybe he's got a few more days on the island. I'm certainly rooting for him.
Mm-hmm. I have Michael at number 7 too, and I was gonna just use a quick excuse like, oh, his edit won't let him go home this week. But I'll do the same as you, Vaughn. I'll give it a little bit of strategy, too. Michael knows where he stands. Phil, you mentioned earlier, Wendell knows exactly where he stands on this tribe. Michael, if anybody, is extremely aware. Like he's going to get... If it was between him and, like, a camera guy, Michael still goes home. Like, everyone wants Michael to get out of there. So let's say this becomes one giant tribal council that has four idols, an extra vote, and two immunity necklaces. That leaves me three people who are vulnerable, one of which... No, that math is so wrong. Oh, no, it's not. Three people who are vulnerable. Michael's going to know he's vulnerable. He knew he was vulnerable when he played James's idol. He knew he was going home when he played the stick. So what I'm saying is he's going to know that he's in trouble this week, no matter how these tribals go down, and he's going to find a way to figure it out because he's done this before. And I know that's not like him doing it before. That doesn't make for him being able to do it again. But this isn't a new sensation, him seeing his name written down. Mm-hmm. So I think he has what it takes to wiggle out of this again if he has to.
I actually – so while we're talking about Michael and you guys had Sebastian, my bottom three, I had a really hard time because I think this is where they go home, right? Like this has to be like one – like at least one of them has to go here. And I think one person here is an absolute no-brainer. And I do believe that the immunity is based on men and women. One man will win. One woman will win. I just – I don't think that it's necessarily going to be a male tribal council and a female tribal council. But my problem is Sebastian really hasn't done much. Vaughn, you brought up a good point where it's like he had that whole conch thing with like Wendell and stuff. So I put him at 8, even though I think it's very likely that he could go this week. But to kill my rankings, I actually have Chelsea at 9, and I was going to put her at 8 and changed it. I think Jenna is the no-brainer this week. Mm-hmm. She's a Malolo girl. Her tightest ally is Sebastian, who has absolutely no pull. Laurel doesn't seem like she likes – like, Laurel and Jenna don't seem like they're all that tight. Jenna had a confessional in the preview. There's no way that Jenna's getting a confessional. She's not going home. Like, I just feel like – and if you look at the way this season has gone, this season has started to up people's edits before they go home. And as sad as this is, Jenna is the one who has had more of an incline in their edit out of Chelsea, her, and Sebastian. As crazy as that sounds, because we haven't seen that much, the boot before Libby went, she had something. I think at the Libby boot, she had something. So Alexa, I don't know if that's you. But anyway.
Yeah, that was me.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But I just think that she's had a little bit of an uptick, and I think she's absolutely going home this week. I would be really, really surprised if she didn't. I put Chelsea at 9. I don't know if I like that, because as visible as she's been, it would make sense for her to go here, but Sebastian has the exact same argument. And I guess I'll just say it's Chelsea goes home because last week Dez went home, and who is Chelsea tight with now? So whatever, let's put Chelsea there and see what happens.
Yeah, if I'm going to kill mine, I go Angela 8, Jenna 9, and Chelsea 10. And Phil, I agree with you on Jenna. I think Angela, like, we suddenly all fell in love with Angela 2 episodes ago. And so now people are like, I feel like people are wanting more of that. And so for Angela to go home at this point would just be kind of random. Jenna, like you said, Phil, she's had a slight uptick. She went to Ghost Island and, like, nothing happened. And I feel like that was just the most Jenna thing to happen in this situation. And Chelsea's at number 10. Yes, it's an edit thing, but she voted incorrectly. And that was, I think that was like the first time she really voted incorrectly on the season, because Chelsea has been playing a pretty decent game. But who is she with now? Is she with Angela? Because we don't know how Angela would have voted. I think this is Chelsea's week to leave, but honestly, anyone in my bottom 6, I wouldn't be surprised if going.
And Vaughn?
So I actually am siding more with Phil here. I actually think that there is one person who is absolutely going to go home this week, and I'm not sure who the second person is going to be, and I think Jenna is definitely going home this week. I think it could be Chelsea alongside her, which would make the most – and Chelsea I have at 9, and Jenna I have at 10. I think Chelsea makes the most sense from an edit perspective, because I think both of them being the double boots, given how small their edits have been, makes a lot of sense. But part of me thinks that maybe Michael could be the other boot with Jenna. You know, maybe they could just take out two Malolos, which would be unfortunate from sort of a Pagong standpoint. But like I said, you know, before, if if Michael was given the lion's share of kind of the attention for the episode and then thrown in with a Jenna or a Chelsea, then maybe they can still kind of do him a service. So I just think that Jenna, given her edit, given the fact that it has spiked a little bit, I also noticed the confessional in the preview, you know, given the fact that she's a Malolo, given the fact that I think after booting Dez, I think that Kellen, Dom, and Wendell are probably going to kind of want to reassert the Navidi dominance, because they're going to want to say, yeah, we got rid of one of our own, but that doesn't mean we've lost control of the game. We're still very much in control. We're not letting the Malolos come back from this. So they're going to want to reassert. And I wouldn't be surprised if Jenna was the sort of the first casualty, and then maybe Michael goes next, or maybe in sort of a showmancy way, maybe like the showmance spikes a little bit and maybe Sebastian goes next. Or I think based on my power rankings, what's most likely is maybe Jenna and Chelsea both go. And the reason they get rid of Chelsea is because she was on the wrong side of the vote, basically with Dez. Mm-hmm. And so they get rid of Jenna to assert the Navidi dominance again. But then the big swing in the action happens when, you know, maybe Kellen accuses Chelsea of plotting against her, or maybe Dom and Wendell want to do a preemptive strike on Kellen by getting rid of Chelsea, and Kellen wins immunity. Mm-hmm. But there are a million ways that things could go out, but I'm very confident that Jenna will be one of the two boots.
Well, and Dom was very worried that goats were going to rise up, and I don't think there's a bigger goat right now than Chelsea, and I think they all know it, because every exit interview has said that she really hasn't brought anything out there.
Yeah.
So I think that everybody knows Chelsea's a goat, so that could be Dom's way of saying, okay, we got rid of a Malolo, now I'm going to get rid of Chelsea, and now there's no chance Kellen can ever take me out of this game.
Yeah. I guess where I disagree with Phil is I would just say, like, Jenna definitely number 10, and then kind of a gap. And I think that Chelsea and Michael are close.
Yeah, I think it's Chelsea and Sebastian who are close. But yeah,
right. So I think it's Chelsea or Michael along with Jenna. Sorry.
The more that we're talking it out, I'm actually thinking it's more of the Sebastian and Jenna thing. Because no one's, like, outside of the game, even within the game, like, the only person you see Jenna hanging out with is Sebastian. And it's, like, very coupley. And we kind of broke this down a few podcasts ago, but showmances have almost become non-threatening, and I think it's because this showmance has Jenna and Sebastian specifically in it. But the fact that they're not even hiding that they're a showmance, just kind of, and we have a double boot coming up. We have two fairly irrelevant players. I feel like this is kind of their cute little bow tie that ends up their season.
I guess the counter argument is, like, and it's a small sample size, but have we ever seen a showmance go back to back? I mean, even on Big Brother, which I know not everyone watches. But it's almost always the first, you know, they're seen as a threat because they're a type two. So one goes and then everyone kind of exhales because the second one now is not seen as nearly as much of a threat without their other one tied to them. And then the other one goes, but not until like two or three boots later.
Rob and Amber, they went back to back. You know, they went 2-1.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How could I forget?
How could you forget? No, you're right, though, because even when they got rid of Figgy, it's like, okay, we can get rid of Taylor whenever the hell we want to get rid of Taylor.
Yeah, exactly. Like I said, I mean, not to bring a different show into the mix, but that almost always happens in Big Brother where you have a tight pair, because their showmances are more common in Big Brother. And there are multiple per season, and rarely do people go out back to back.
Probably because they don't smell bad and they're sleeping.
That's why there's more, probably.
So there we have it. There's our power rankings.
In probably that might be our longest one. I mean, that was a very Adam-ish podcast there, Vaughn. You really came. I mean, he had 18 people to go through. You only had 10 to go through, but you really Adamed yourself here.
Adam wasn't like giving the entire history of how and why female winners happen on Survivor.
Yeah, I had to dump that in there. Yeah.
There you go, Adam. There you go.
Well, Adam never won as a female, so he doesn't know.
Yeah, he doesn't understand. Let's do the eliminator real quick, because Vaughn, we can actually have you explain your eliminator vote now.
This is amazing. What I love about this is Vaughn just played the survivor on that, and now I get to be the survivor, and Vaughn gets to be Vaughn again. Unless, Vaughn, you want me to be Vaughn, and I can just get you out of this game real quick.
I think I'd rather be Vaughn.
You'll be Vaughn?
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, I think I'd prefer to be Vaughn. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So I'll be like Vaughn 2.0 here.
Okay.
So whoever wants to go first, I didn't really think about
what would I do if I had played Survivor and then came on the podcast.
What would you do?
Yeah, that's essentially, you're being
me right now.
Yeah, also Survivor, yeah.
So I would text my friends who also played Survivor and ask them who doesn't get voted out this week.
That is what I would do for sure. Yeah.
So I'm looking at mine. We're all getting down to the wire here. I have Sebastian, but I'm not going to play him. I'm going to go with Donathan on mine.
Okay. So I'm going to go. I don't have Donathan anymore. I do have my top three. I have Dominic, Wendell, and Laurel, but I'm going to take Kellen.
Kellen.
There it is.
Okay, I need to figure out who these people have here, these survivors. So Sebastian.
I have a list if you need.
All right, who do they have left?
All right, the survivors have four people left. They have Michael, Dominic, Kellen, and Chelsea.
Wow. Ooh,
that's a rough one.
Here you go. They're going to lose anyway, and who knows if we're, you know, who knows going forward what the other person would do. I think Chelsea goes home this week. I could take Kellen and feel safe. I could take Dominic and feel safe. But I'm going to take Michael for the longevity because mm-hmm. Michael could easily survive this week and go home next week. I don't see Kellen or Dom going home next week. So I'm going to say Michael this week, take a huge chance. I have absolutely nothing to lose. This is what happens when Vaughn does not stay as a survivor and turns into Vaughn again. I'm thinking about the tribe here. I'm going for broke. And I'm going to say
I think that's smart. Yeah, I think that's smart.
I think that's a right move.
You know, it does depend on whether you think, you know, Chelsea or Michael are more likely to go home, which is like the existential crisis I'm having is if you go home with Jenna. And so, like, you could be screwing the survivors, but at the same time, you know, I don't – but also, like, if Michael doesn't go this week, he's probably going next week, so you might as well use him. Whereas if Chelsea doesn't go home this week, maybe she lasts a couple more weeks because, like, who's getting rid of her?
Yeah, then maybe she's actually the boot like right before the merge and they were actually going to make it. So we'll make this.
And who do you have left, Alexa?
Let me check real quick. Not many. I don't have many options.
You're probably going to beat me, though.
I have Michael, Sebastian, Wendell, and Kellen.
That's not bad.
Okay, I have Dom, Wendell, Laurel, Michael, and then I just use Kellen.
Mm-hmm. Oof. This is getting down to the wire.
I'm afraid to use Michael. That's the issue. I would love to use Michael here and then be able to save Kellen, but I'm too scared to do Michael.
So as a diehard Yankees fan, back in whatever year it was, I think it was 03. It was the year before the Red Sox came back from down 3-0. The Yankees were getting killed in that game 7 against the Red Sox. And Derek Jeter like famously said, the ghost will show up eventually. Like, don't worry, it'll happen eventually. Exactly. And then the Red Sox end up blowing the game. That was Pedro Martinez deciding to stay in the game, and he absolutely blows it. Vaughn, you're going to be okay because Alexa's ghosts are going to show up eventually. She does not win the Eliminator game.
I average Eliminator game placement at where Phil went out this season. I have no business being here, and I'm just, quite frankly, happy to be here. I need to bring my friends, my family.
Well, I get to make another random baseball analogy so we're like squarely on Alexa's turf. I think if you like go to like www.baseballsavant, one of my favorite websites, and you look at the StatCast leaderboards and the expected stats for Alexa.
I can't believe you just brought up StatCast on this podcast.
Her,
this is amazing.
Her XWOBA would be higher than her real WOBA.
Okay, there you go.
It doesn't happen often that my job and this podcast intersect, and here we are.
Everyone, obviously, who's tuning in totally gets that reference. But to briefly explain it, she's basically out kicking her coverage.
I think next season, instead of talking about edit, I'm just going to come up with like my own version of Sabermetrics for Survivor and just really get rid of all of our fans.
There you go. Hey, that's what we want.
We got to give the people what they want.
You could at least do like war or like some sort of above replacement stat.
Yeah, exactly.
I know with the confessionals, they have so many ways that they like break it down. Did they get like 100% of what they should have gotten? How many did they get episode that they should have gotten per episode? How many did they like? It's so broken down. Like, that's what we need.
Well, I mean, it would be a helpful way to like describe what I was saying basically with Laurel and Kellen earlier, right? Like even though Kellen was voted LVP, she probably actually received more like war, like 0.1 war or whatever. Whereas I think that Laurel probably lost some.
Yeah, absolutely.
All the baseball fans now hate us. Sorry.
There are so many ideas churning through my head. This is amazing.
I'm excited. You've got me talking about baseball because I'm actually excited for this season because I'm a Braves fan. And we're
Braves are doing well.
Finally turned the corner, hopefully for the rebuild.
I mean, you guys have the freeze. Like, beat the freeze is honestly the greatest thing in baseball right now.
It's true.
And
it's
so
true.
Like
that and Rodon Acuña.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be honest. I love baseball, but as a Yankees fan, I only pay attention to the Yankees. So, you know, whatever you guys are talking about. That's
you
cute.
Had to do one Yankees reference, and then you got out.
You struck out, just like John Carlin and Aaron.
It's
cute that you guys think that, like, you guys have, like, other teams in the MLB. It's adorable. Oh, yeah. But come on.
Someone in the live chat wants an average number of cries.
Nice.
That's a good crying over coffee specifically. We had two of those this season.
Well, here we have Andy Vogel says it's like how Chris's ex-FIP would have suggested a way earlier boot than actually finish end of.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a great point, actually. Yeah. Mm-hmm. His FIP.
This is fantastic.
His ex-FIP. And actually, it's more appropriate to talk in terms of ex-FIP than WABA because he was a pitcher. He tosses the rock.
Chris was a pitcher. He does.
Yeah,
he has
a pitcher. So
you've got to
talk in terms of pitching stats when you're talking about him.
Man, wow. This is amazing.
This is when we run now. This is it. Vaughn comes on our podcast and literally ruins the Survivor Specialist in one spell.
Now we're going to be the math specialist.
Go
there you go. Hey, why not, right? Hey.
There we have it.
All right, so I think, did we cover pretty much everything? I mean, I think we covered
more than everything.
I think so. I think we went too far. This is what
I mean, we did go too far. We do that once in a while, and this is what happened. I'll wrap it up if everyone's cool with that. As much as I love talking about baseball stats, which I actually do.
I think we can wrap it up. Yeah,
okay.
let's wrap it up.
In that case, so we'll be back Wednesday at 9 p.m. Pacific, midnight Eastern. Unfortunately, it'll be just me and Phil. There won't be any Vaughn. We like hanging out with Vaughn because he makes us like a lot smarter than we are when it's just the two of us. So he'll be back. We'll have you back, Vaughn. But in the meantime, keep an eye out for my MVP spotlight of Laurel, who won the MVP, which will then be greatly overshadowed by Vaughn's opus of how women win Survivor, because that needs to be written down somewhere. Like that needs to go somewhere. But in the meantime, follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, hit subscribe on YouTube. We're almost at 3,400 subscribers, which is a pretty big milestone for us. So keep listening, and we'll be back Wednesday night.
I forgot I have to stop it.
Yeah, that's your turn.
I was on a different page.